Original 16 gives you the chance to win one of three Calgary Flames fan experiences. Details in the new limited edition 15 packs of Canadian Pale Ale. Original 16, official beer sponsor of the Calgary Flames. Must be of legal drinking age, no purchase necessary.
Welcome to the Flames TV live post-game show brought to you by Original 16. Ryan Dietrich is here to help break this one down, and we're going to try and make it fun. I don't know how we're going to do that, Ryan, but we'll do our best.
Oh, we're just fun people.
Exactly. We are fun people. We look for the positive all the time, but it was a tough afternoon for the Flames, who got off to a pretty good start against Detroit, but in the end suffer a 5-0 loss. So all of a sudden, it is three losses in a row for Calgary.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I think based on how the game on Thursday ended, there was so much talk about competitiveness and, you know, maybe taking that opponent lightly and needing a quicker start in this one. So in the first shift, the first second shift, the third shift, I think we saw some really good things out of the Flames. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they really started to pile some pucks on net there early in the period. That front half of the first especially was particularly strong. So in the end, they put up 33 attempts in the first period, which is kind of what you're looking for.
Yes.
Detroit, though, not on their game, did one thing exceptionally well. They got in front of a ton of pucks. They blocked 14 in the period and really prevented the Flames from penetrating the inside. And that was kind of the difference, because in a period that really, on the outside, it looked like the Flames kind of dominated. Territorially they did, but at even strength scoring chances, Detroit actually finished with an edge 3-2 from the high danger areas, and obviously we know the score was not flattering for the Flames at that point either, so it was quite an uphill climb. They just weren't able to recover.
Right, and you talk about Detroit doing things well. The power play is something they always also do well. They are ranked 11th in the league, and they clicked early in this one. Let's get to the highlights and show you how it all went down. As we mentioned, the Flames, a good first 10 minutes, they had a lot of chances, but here's the power play that Detroit had first, and Patrick Kane just wires that one.
Yeah, clean win by Robbie Fabry on the faceoff, all of 3 seconds into this power play.
Yeah.
And yeah, you said it, Patrick Kane's been so good this season. I think he's close to a point per game in his 21 games so far this season. As we know, lethal on the power play. That one's from a bit, you know, a little from distance, so not sure if Jacob Markstrom caught a bit of the flyby screen from Noah Hanifin in the slot, but as we know, Kane can shoot it.
And then just a minute later, the Flames get caught here. They can't clear the zone, and there it is, JT Compher in the back of the net.
Yeah, turnovers, and Mackenzie Weegar starts to feel some of that pressure from Lucas Raymond. Then it's Alex DeBrincat who kind of closes on Kuzmenko. That's how a team needs to forecheck to create turnovers, and from there it's a bit of a fire drill for the Flames. Jacob Markstrom opens up a little bit, and Compher has a lot to shoot at.
So the Flames needed the next one, but they did not get it. It was Dylan Larkin in front tipping it home. I believe Patrick Kane got that pass through there.
Yeah, and this was interesting. The first power play took 3 seconds. This one took 19. A 4-on-3 situation. So what you'll notice here, all four Red Wings skaters below the inside of the circles there. So there's only one place the puck can go. And if for a team that snaps it around and really tries to funnel pucks towards the blue paint, that's an exceptional pass and making it easy for his captain. Dylan Larkin puts it home.
Tough goal for the Flames to give up, and then they give up another one here. Things go from bad to worse. It's Andrew Copp finding David Perron, and it's 4-0 with that one.
Yeah, speaking of guys that can rip it, David Perron's done that his entire career, and this was kind of the moment in the game where you felt, I don't know if you feel a sag necessarily, but the Flames just came off their game. Jacob Markstrom, that spelled the end of his night.
So it was Dan Vladar coming in relief of Markstrom, and he played pretty well, actually. They threw some good shots at him. This one, he did not stop. It was Lucas Raymond just walking in there and wiring that one home.
Yeah, and Mo Sider picking up the assist. He had himself quite a night. Flames fans don't get to see him a whole lot, but a couple of assists tonight in 20 minutes. Lucas Raymond, another one of those talented young players that Detroit has, and you know, that goal is sort of the calling card of what this team is. They play with speed, they attack defenders, and you know, when you're making things difficult on the defense, when you're creating that much motion in the offensive zone, Flames weren't able to keep up. And as you mentioned, Dan Vladar was very good. That one just squeaks through.
And you said the word deflating, and I think it really was for the Flames, especially after that good start when they had so many opportunities to get on the board first.
Yeah, and to me, that was the story, right? That first period, they came out, played really well, but you could sense that after about 10 or so minutes, before the Connor Zeri penalty that led to the Patrick Kane power play goal, they started to get their legs a little bit, and they started to pressure a little bit, getting some of that zone time. And it's one of those situations where if you're the Flames, you have a start like that, you really feel like you need to capitalize and put a team down early. Right. They weren't able to do that. You allowed a team to get off the mat.
Okay, let's go into the dressing room. Jacob Markstrom is there speaking to the media.
Go wrong.
I don't know. I thought we started the game really good, and you know, we were on point. We really pushed them back, and then you know, obviously they got two goals and in the end of the first, and then two goals early in the second.
Do you have any theories as to why it's been so tricky to win at the Salle Dome for this group, Jacob?
No, I do not.
How about your afternoon? How'd you see it from your vantage point?
Well, it was short.
Yeah, no doubt you wanted to play more, but. Was it a matter of, I don't know, not seeing it, or what was your evaluation?
No, I saw it. I saw all four pucks go in, so it's frustrating. You wanna be there for the guys and you know, the fans that paid money to come watch us play. So,
Jacob, we hear so much about blocking out the noise. Is that becoming more difficult for this group?
I don't think so. What noise are you talking about?
The trade speculation, the deadline coming up, all that.
I mean, everyone here is professional, paid for to play hockey, and you know, that's what you can, all you can do. And we got to keep doing it. We've been doing it all year, and it's been, you know, you guys been talking about it all year, and we just got to play.
How do you personally try and block that then? Because your name has been out there. How do you?
Well, right now I'm not thinking about it. I just got pulled in this early in the second period, so it's a bad timing for that question.
How do you reset, Jacob? Is this a matter of you can park this game, or are you able to kind of look at that objectively on a tough day and then kind of reset? How do you go about that?
Obviously me and Bart's got to go through it, and, you know, the feeling is there, and it's, you know, we were on the road, and we had a hell of a road trip, and, you know, coming home, and, you know, first game back, San Jose, last game was a tough one, and then, you know, we did everything right the first 15 of the minutes of the game tonight, and... You know, everyone is. If you ask everyone how they're feeling after 15 minutes, it's really good. And you know, we got them where we wanted, and then just you know, slippery slope.
Okay, thanks, Jacob. Thanks, sir.
All right. So Markstrom mentions those first 15 minutes. Let's show you some of the highlights and all those opportunities for the Flames that we were talking about. Here's Sharon Gobich. This was a beauty chance here by Jonathan Huberdeau. They had that shift overall was really good for the team.
Yeah, Jacob Markstrom said it perfectly there. They did everything right, really, for the first 15 minutes, and this line was the catalyst for it all from the moment they hopped over the boards. We've seen some really nice chemistry from Jonathan Huberdeau, Andrei Kuzmenko, mm-hmm. and Yegor Sharangovich, you know, centering that line a little bit of a trial in the middle there. But for my money, that was one of the better periods that I've seen Huberdeau play this season.
Yes.
So you could tell he was feeling it early in the game. You know, the passes were crisp. You know, the opportunities that they were getting, though, you'll notice they were from distance. They just weren't able to penetrate the middle, as we said, off the top. And, you know, for a line that's going to be counted on to produce a lot of the team's offense, because you know you've got a couple of opponents coming in that are very stingy defensively, I think the goal over the next couple of days will be to find a way to get more to the inside and make sure that they're making the goaltender work a little bit more for some of the volume that they are putting up.
Right. I believe we have Blake Coleman in the dressing room standing by. Okay, let's go to Coleman.
Blake, no doubt a frustrating afternoon. I wonder, as you look at this game, maybe it's different than other ones, maybe it's different than San Jose, I don't know, but are you seeing enough emotional pushback in your entire group?
Honestly, I thought the start of our game was pretty good, the first 15 minutes. I thought we were the better team and dictated a lot of the play, and then, you know, they score two quick ones and get the lead, and just not enough pushback.
What would you like to see change when, you know, things start to slide, as Jacob just said, a slippery slope? What do you want to see to try and dig out in moments like those?
Well, you just got to get your confidence going. You know, I think you don't want to run around, and it's easy as a spectator to want guys to start running around like chickens with their head cut off, but it's not going to win you games either. I've been on teams that have gone the wrong way doing stuff like that, so it's really just getting back to our foundations and what makes us good. And at the end of the day, we're just not making confident enough plays and executing at a high enough level to, you know, to make life difficult on their goalie, and other teams are capitalizing on the mistakes that we make.
Do you,
Like, there's not a lot of teams in this league that are below 500 in their home building. How much does that lack of home ice success bother this group?
Oh, it's disappointing. You know, it's, you know, ideally in this league, your home record's generally better than your road record, but obviously it's not the case for us right now. And I mean, you know, rightfully so, we get booed today, and you know, it's quiet because we're not generating much. And you know, we've had spurts where it's been good, but it's not consistent enough. And like I said, I think if we capitalize on a few chances in that first 15 minutes, maybe the building gets into it, we start feeling good, maybe it's a different script. So just was what it was. We just got too down when the chips started to fall, and you know, we got to find ways. I think I said it last game too. Just find ways to get the building into the game. You know, it's quiet at times, and it's quiet on our bench. And you know, we need to be loud on our bench, and we need to give, you know, people reasons to get out of their seat.
How does it feel when you see, you know, the goaltender who's been keeping you in so many games, you know, pulled from the game, and I guess you guys feel like you let him down?
Yeah, we all know it's not Marky being pulled for his play. If anything, sometimes, you know, coaches will do it to see if he can get a reaction or a spark out of the team. And, you know, he's the reason we win a lot of games, and he's the reason, you know, that we are where we are. So he's just, yeah, you're disappointed more in yourself for letting it get to that point. And, you know, he's a guy that we all care about and want to play hard for, and it's disappointing that we let him down again.
Like, did you see that? Fan throw the octopus and that means all the time. So do guys on the bench notice that, or when an opposing fan does something like that at your home rink?
I didn't even know until you said it. I didn't even know that happened.
Like, is it too easy to say trade talk is getting to these guys?
I don't think it's trade talk. You know, this group's done a good job of keeping the noise out and playing hard. It's not a lack of effort or want to win. It's just, like I said, we're not executing, and we're not making confident plays. And you know, every team in the league's got trade talk right now, one way or another. That's what this time of year brings about. And you know, you got to be a big boy and push that noise out and just play your game.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, we said we were going to try and make this show fun, so let's talk about one of the positives in this game. And I think Martin Pospisil, on most nights, even when the Flames lose, he's always a guy that stands out because he's one of the few physical guys on the team who is not afraid to be physical and actually goes after that, and obviously has some offensive talent as well.
Yeah, fitting segue too, because Blake Coleman was asked about the response there early in his interview, and you don't want to go completely over the edge in a game like this, but you obviously want to show pulse, and this is what we've come to learn from Martin Pospisil and his line mates. He's constantly in the mix. The fascinating thing about him, he's not overly vocal on the ice either, but he has a way of getting under the skin of his opponents no matter what situation he's in, but he loves getting involved in it. Go to CalgaryFlames.com, check out an article from my colleague Chris Wall. He talked to him earlier this week. He loves it. He knows that when he's in there laying the body, kind of mixing it up after the whistle, as you see here, he gets that little bit of a frustration, a response from some of his opponents, and he loves that part, that side of the game. So when you've got a guy who can maybe mix it up a little bit, but also get the response you're looking for, get guys off their game. And additionally, we're talking about the response too. He did take that sportsmanlike conduct penalty early in the third period, but you and I were watching this thinking, you know, it was probably about time. They needed something like that. You'll take that penalty all day. They did get the kill, but that's a guy going out trying to spark his team a little bit. He finishes the night with 7 hits. Earlier in this week at Madison Square Garden, he tied his career high with 9. So this is a guy that's constantly at the top end of the sheet, and it's impressive too because they're going to need him here down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's hear from the captain now. Michael Backlund is in the dressing room.
Michael, a tough afternoon and a bit of a slide here for your group. Can you give us a sense of the frustration level in this room right now?
Yeah, it is a frustrating loss. I thought, just like last game, we played really well in the first. Once we get scored on, I feel like we're sliding. Lose the momentum and lose that, you know, the way we know we can play and we're successful. And, you know, I feel like we lost our game last two games when it became tough and hard, and we got to be better here to fight back.
Where do you see that fight back coming? Like, how does that have to happen? Is it emotional? Is it X's and O's? Where do you see this group having to kind of dig in?
Well, I think as soon as hopefully next game we don't, but when we let a goal in, you know, we got to find a way next game or next shift to come out with energy or whatever that can be in different ways, but not get so low. I feel like last couple games we got a little too low after letting goals in, and they scored a couple of quick ones, or another good one pretty quickly after. So we just got to stop that bleeding and focus on next shift and try and, you know, create some energy, like I said, and change the game.
Michael, how frustrating is it that this has been such a rotten stretch at home for you guys? Like, going back to the last homestand, I think we've lost 6 or 7 here. How frustrating is that?
Yeah, that's tough. That's not acceptable. We want to play well in front of our fans. We want to win games. And if we want to be serious about playoffs, we got to win games at home. We can't be a 500 or below 500 team at home to make the playoffs. It's something we talked about after coming home last road trip going into these games. We talked about, you know, the stretch before wasn't what we wanted and wanted to improve on it. We talked about better starts than Bush we had, but second pairs has been a tough one for us the last few games, and we got to fix that for next game.
Do you feel like the will to win on a night like this, afternoon like this, was there overall? Like, was there more to give in that regard?
No, we always, you know, try and win and fight back. And it's hockey, though. It goes quickly both ways. And, I never doubt my teammates or my own will to win.
What about the goaltender? I mean, he leaves no... You know, like everybody, frustrated right now. To get pulled doesn't sit well with a competitive guy who's had a brilliant season. How does a group in front of him feel when you have a game like that in front of him?
Yeah, it's tough to see any goalie in a day get pulled, but especially Marky that's been playing so well for us at last road trip. He was our best player, and it's tough to see him get pulled.
Michael, it's probably going to be easy for people to look at these last two and say, hey, maybe the distractions are starting to get to them, maybe all the talk has started to bother them. Is that the case?
No, I mean, everyone comes in there every day ready to work, and, you know, we're still all teammates here, and we're all excited to be together and play for each other. And, you know, no one's showed anything. You know, there's been talk about a few guys here, and they haven't shown anything in the locker room or anything like that. So we come in every day and try and prove as a team.
Okay, thanks, Max. You're a coach now.
Original 16 gives you the chance to win one of 3 Calgary Flames fan experiences. Details in the new limited edition 15 packs of Canadian Pale Ale. Original 16, official beer sponsor of the Calgary Flames. Must be of legal drinking age, no purchase necessary.
All right, so the Flames suffer a 5-0 loss to the Detroit Red Wings. The coach is speaking to the media right now. Let's hear from Ryan Huska.
Ryan, what bugs you most about this game?
We didn't win, one. I liked our start, and then those two quick goals I thought hurt a little bit, and then I didn't like the call on the third one. And, you know, they have a good power play, and putting them 4-on-3, that's a tough one. So it just got away from us a little bit at the end of the first period.
What's the rationale behind pulling Jacob?
It was 4-0 at that point, so nothing on Jacob. I think we all can probably agree on that. It's just trying to change the way the game was going.
What's the biggest difference between how you play on the road versus how you've played at home of late?
There is no difference. For the first 15 minutes, we were the better team. And they scored off a power play, right off a face-off, and then they were able to get another quick one right away. Same thing that we did to teams on the road. So it's not every night you're going to have the bounces that go your direction or way, and there's really... Every team in the NHL is a good team. So our job at home is to make sure we continue to work hard and we're competitive, and that's what we need to do moving forward, and that will allow us to have success.
Last game, you weren't happy with the competitive side. Yeah. Were you happy tonight?
It was better. I mean, I still think I've seen us with more, and that's what I was mentioning earlier. You know, it's something that you have to grind and you have to stick with it in these situations to make sure the next game it's harder, and those 2-minute lulls like we had in the first period don't happen.
Is that X's and O's, Ryan, or is that like an emotional pushback, or where do you see
the
it?
The 2 minutes there?
That, or just, you know, when you're down and it's sliding and it's not going your way. Is it about, as you say, sticking with it, but is that also X's and O's, or maybe more, somebody's got to do something.
I don't know if it's X's and O's. I mean, we had a lot of zone time when you look at this game tonight. Sometimes when the game becomes hard, it's easy to be like, oh, you know, why is it not going on going our way? And that's when you want the dig in. So it's almost like you forget the score or what happened your last shift, and it's just make sure our next shift is a really good one, the way we know how we can play consistently. So that's what it's about.
Do you feel like your group got enough quality chances tonight, or was it just more quantity of shots?
Tons of zone time, quantity. Like you said, we didn't have enough traffic, for sure.
We've seen this team go on a four-game winning streak, then a four-game losing streak, then another four-game winning streak, and now we're seeing them at three. But what's it been like for you just seeing this team kind of seesaw between winning streaks and losing streaks over the last stretch of games?
Yeah, consistency is important within a game, from game to game, practice and all that stuff, and that's one area that we haven't found. I think we've ridden that wave a little bit too much, and that's why you've seen some of the streaks we've had.
Ryan, you guys have been down before in games this year, and you've seen have a pretty good job of wiping that off at intermissions. Yeah. You feel like the group still has that same ability that they had earlier in the year?
Sure they do, for sure. I mean, we were down going into third period, 4 goals, and you're not coming back from that.
Yeah. It's an easy narrative, and we ask the players the same thing. An easy narrative is to say that all this trade talk has, you know, finally got to the players, and that's why they lost the last two games. Your response to that
theory? I don't think that's an issue at all. We've got some really good pros in the room. So as much as I would love for them to stay right off of social media and all that stuff, they've all been around and they understand this time of year, all of them. So it's nothing new for them, and they know they have to go out and work and compete. So no, I don't think it is.
If it's not that as a distraction, then how else would you explain some of the recent performances? If not that, then what?
Some of the recent performances. Yeah.
More just San Jose and I guess today.
Yeah. As I said before, if you're not at your very best in this league, you're not going to give yourself a chance to win. And we've had stretches in games where we have been good, and then we've had stretches where we've let off the gas a little bit, and that's the area where we have to smooth out the consistency side of things.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, a frustrating outing for the Flames, and I think what I took from the coach there is he's looking for more consistency from this team.
Yeah, and you've got to make this building a hard one to play in. Mm-hmm. We heard Blake Coleman, Michael Backlund both ask about the home performance of late. I think that's 6 of 7 now they've dropped here in the Saddle Dome. That's got to improve because they've been a pretty reliable road team of late. Again, coach touching on some of the competitiveness too, and Blake Coleman saying that, you know, in addition to the fact that maybe the building gets a little quiet because they're not giving their fans a reason to cheer, but the same thing exists on the bench where there's not as much chatter and the guys aren't getting each other fired up in situations where they need it. So they have to turn that around and pretty quickly here too. So they got a good Winnipeg Jets team coming in on Monday, and we were talking about this before too. We'll see what happens tonight when they play the Vancouver Canucks, but Connor Hellebuyck, he's given up 3 goals or fewer in his last 30 games. So the coach is talking a little bit about getting traffic towards the net. Monday would be a good chance and a good opportunity for them to do that and hopefully start flipping the script here at the Dome.
Right. All right. Less than 48 hours from now, the Winnipeg Jets will be here. It's another matinee game on Family Day on Monday. We will see you back here then.